Jesus walking by the Sea of Galilee saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. We're going to talk about today, study about following Jesus. Seems to me that there's much to be learned and grasped that we have missed in this process of trying to follow Jesus. I put on the board 1 Corinthians 11:1. If you follow Jesus, you're never in first place. That's one good thing about it, in my estimation, is because He has led us and has shown us the way. But what in the world does it mean in my life and yours? And what kind of a follower am I? Well, here is the Lord talking here to Peter and John. And He tells them to follow Him. And the Bible says, and they straightway left their nets. Wonder why God told us that these two apostles, which were leaders among the apostles, started out believing their nets. If they had never been willing to leave their nets, they would not have been effective apostles. And that's not true in our cases every time, because they had a calling and a short time to do it, to be trained. And then, of course, their lives were short in exercising that. So they left their nets, their job immediately. And of course, they left their father. That did not mean that they didn't go back to that or help make a living that way. But it certainly does mean that. Then in Matthew, the 8th chapter, Jesus runs into a volunteer, one who volunteers in verse 19. And the Bible says, a certain scribe, that was a copier of the law, so he had, and that was a busy job. It took a lot to do that. Said unto the master, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. Looks like the Lord would have taken pains to recommend that answer, but He did not, as so often He did. He challenged the people to think about what they were saying. And Jesus said unto him, The foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay His head. As we go through this life and we think about following Christ, it's not wrong to own a home. Most of us do that. But it is wrong to put that above the Lord and following the Lord. That's where we get into trouble if we do it that way. Then the Bible says next here, as I continue reading, and another of His disciples, we don't know who this one was, said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. The Lord answers him this time in a way we've never quite taken hold of, and maybe you can explain this better than I can. And the Bible says, Jesus said to him, Follow me and let the dead bury their dead. I think I know what that means. Let the dead in sin bury the dead in the flesh, and you go and follow me. And so, do we know what kind of follower we are? Again, we see in Matthew 16:24 that Jesus begins to set out the process of following. If you've ever had the task of following anybody through major cities across this country, then you are in for a treat when you try to do that. We used to line up about 15 cars in a parade kind of thing, because that's the way they wanted to travel, and we'd head out to Hazard on a campaign. I learned right quick that I didn't care nothing about trying to be in a crowd following somebody else. I learned that right away. You'll get into all kind of trouble with that. And so here we have, the Bible says, if any man follow me, here is what he needs to do, Matthew 16:19. First, he needs to deny himself. Well, that's true. If you're following somebody else, you don't go your own way. You follow the leader, the person hopefully that's following Christ. Take up your cross. The Lord never hesitated to mention early in calling followers about the cross. Now, I suppose that that meant a lot different to them than it did unto us. Crucifixion is the cruelest way known to man to die, I'm told. As you probably know, they just took a human being and nailed him to a cross. Probably after he'd been scourged and beaten in the back to some of his inner organs were showing. And they often nailed also his feet, and they put him in the ground and dropped him. Why would the Lord say, if any man follow me, let him take up his cross? Because the cross is central to the Christian life. The Bible teaches if a church doesn't have a cross to bear, it's not the Lord's church. Every member of the Lord's church has a cross to bear. And all of us recognize that, at least at times, as we go through this life. And so he said, "Follow, take up your cross and follow me." And then in Matthew 19:21, there was a young man came to Christ. And Jesus turned to him and said, "If thou would be perfect," he told him four things to do if he wanted to be a perfect follower of Christ. First, he had to go. He had to be willing to move. You can't follow somebody if you're going to sit. Sitters are not followers. And so we'll go. Second, sell. Sell what you have. This guy needed to make a sale. Third, give to the poor. And fourth, then come and follow me. I do not believe that God requires of us to sell everything we have to be a follower of Christ today. But this man did, and certain people today would also have to. If there's anything in your life that will keep you from attending services faithfully, you're going to have a sale. If there's anything in your life that keep you from loving the Lord first, you're going to have a sale. And you have to get rid of that if you follow Jesus. Go and sell, and then come and follow me. And then in Mark 9:35, Jesus called the 12. He was training the 12. He called them unto them. And he says that with desire, if you desire to be first, if you desire to be first, then you need to take up your cross and follow me. In Mark 10:21, there was another man we know about, but this is the rich young ruler. And the Bible says he came to Christ, and Jesus looked at him and said, "You lack one thing." If I was following the Lord today, and I hope I am, and he turned and gave me an answer, and he said, "You lack one thing," I'd say, "Well, I'm in pretty good shape." But if you follow the Lord and you lack one thing, you're not in good shape. If you would be perfect, that's what he told him. It means complete. Go and sell what you got. Give it to the poor and follow me. Well, the Bible says again in Luke 5:27, he saw a publican. Now, a publican was a tax collector. They were hated by their fellow man. The Lord chose some people to be disciples that the world would not ever choose. You know, we have no right to decide if a person is worthy to follow Jesus or not. We teach the Word and live the Word, and they have to make that decision. But here it was that Jesus saw a publican, a tax collector, and he said, "Follow me." And Levi, or Matthew, got up and followed him. And the Lord chose him to write the longest of the Gospels. I suppose if it's the longest, it's the most important, at least in length. But I don't think we have to rate them 1, 2, 3, and 4. But anyway, he said, you follow me. And he did that. And then there's another interesting thing in Luke 9:23, because that's a word that tells us how often we have to follow Christ. The Bible says, take up your cross daily. Today's the Lord's day. You've taken up your cross. You're here. You could be anywhere else you chose to be nearly. And you'll take up your cross again tonight. It's a little bit of inconvenient to come out in this cold weather, get your children ready, and so forth. Antennas always goes down when the weather's bad. I never quite understood that, but that's part of it. But take up your cross daily. What have you done for me today, the Lord says? What are you going to do for me tomorrow? And tomorrow must be planned around the idea of taking up your cross daily. Then in Luke 9:59, One said, first let me go bury my father. And he said, let those dead bury the dead, but go preach. He told him preaching was more important. In Matthew 18 and 42, we have a very interesting thing. The Bible says that Jesus taught if you're going to be his disciple, you are not only going to have to obey the gospel and live a Christian life and sell what you got if it got in your way, but you're going to have to forgive people who sin against you. I don't know very many people that's real good at forgiving. If you are, you tell me after. I'm real, real good at forgiving. I just don't have much trouble. I'll ask your wife or husband about it if you're married. I'll ask your mother or father about it if you happen to have that, or some of your children. But if you're too good at forgiving. Now, some people are better at it than others. But the Bible teaches us that he said you've got to forgive. And then there was a question. Do you have to forgive till seven times? And the Lord answered that there in that passage. And he said 490 times a day. 70 times 7. I do not believe that there is a home in here that would be together if the husband or wife, either one, had to forgive one another 490 times a day. I just don't believe I possess that ability, and I don't believe, and my wife's the sweetest woman in the world, I don't believe she has it. She's had to be long-suffering to put up with me. But forgiveness is a key thing if you're going to follow Jesus. Why? It's not the fact that your forgiveness saves them. It doesn't. They got to make things right with God, that fellow man. It's the fact that when you're carrying acid around in a bucket, the bucket is not harmed. The acid is not harmed, but the bucket melts. When you're carrying unforgiveness around in your heart, there's no way you can be a Christian. Jesus, above all things, was a forgiver. And I don't mean without conditions. But he, above all things, was a forgiver. And he had that quality. I don't think we think about this enough. If Jesus says you're going to follow me, you've got to forgive 490 times a day. That's a challenging thing to think about. The Bible says in John, the first chapter, in verse 43, that Jesus went and found Philip. He found him. He went and sought Philip out. And the Bible says that Philip listened to him. And Philip turned around and went and found Nathanael. And he brought Nathanael to Jesus. What's that got to do with following? If you're following Jesus, you're making attempts to get other people to follow him with you. That's a part of your contract with the Lord. And so there it is, John 1, 43 and 45. And then John 12, 26, Jesus talked to another follower. I'll read that to you. And the Bible says, if any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. Now, in Bible times, there was a great distinction in the social difference between masters and servants. If you went into a home in Bible times and your feet need washing, the master of the house didn't wash your feet. The servants, the slaves, washed the feet. That was reserved for them like that. And here we come to this, and it says, where I am, there also my servant be. If you ate a meal in Bible times, you didn't eat meal with the household. I remember one occasion that my father brought home with him a black man, and we got ready to eat lunch. And so we sitting there around a big old table with a bunch of us, and he come in, he got his food, started out the back door to the back porch, and Daddy went out there and said, you're going to eat with us. We don't believe in this kind of stuff. Always impressed me that my father knew that one man is just as good as another. And so here it was that will my servant be. We have to be good enough to be received into the home of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says in John the 21st chapter, Jesus has a talk with the Apostle Peter. And the Bible says that he decided to show him by what death he should glorify God. Seems to me there's a point in this we don't think of here often. We ought not only glorify God in life, but we ought to glorify God in death. Now, I know I'm not ready for that because I've never had too much pain and I don't like it at all. But I do believe that we ought to show the world how to die. And the New Testament Christians most certainly did. They fed thousands of them to lions. They crucified a bunch of them. They killed them left and right. And they, many of them, not accepting deliverance, and they showed them how to die. But the main thing about showing how to die is not bravery. Blessed are the dead that die in the Lord. God has no retirement plan. You'll have to adjust to age, and you may get where you cannot attend worship services. But God doesn't say, when you get to be 50, you miss Wednesday night. When you get to be 60, you miss Wednesday night and Sunday night. When you get to be 70, you can miss Wednesday night, Sunday night, and Monday, and come only at the big meeting. He doesn't say that. Now, it is true you have to adjust, but it's also true there's no way to retire. Someone was sitting over at the plant with Daddy, and they were talking about one of the workers that wasn't there that day, and one of them said, "When will he retire?" And the other said, "Hadn't you noticed? He retired 5 years ago. He's just still showing up." So I suppose they knew what the man was doing. Some people retire from the Lord's church. What kind of a follower am I? Matthew 26:15, Peter followed afar off. I won't talk about that. We think about that sometimes. Followed afar off. Now, what in the world, how does that apply to us today? Well, I would suggest to you that if we follow afar off, we do not know what manner of things that we're going to face in life. That's what Jesus told Peter on this occasion when he spake to him how he would glorify God by the way he died. Peter, of course, followed it far off, and they asked him, "Are you one of his disciples?" And he lied. He said, "I'm not." Peter followed it far off, and so the Bible says that he began to curse. Mark 16, count of it. He began to curse and swear. And then when a person does that, he's following it for all. And then Malachi 1:6-8, talks about the worship that we offer to God. And following the Lord means we follow Him to the house of God. And we engage in worship with Jesus and with the Holy Spirit and with God. And Malachi describes this here in terms that sometimes we forget. But you have profaned it. That's talking about the Lord's table in the Old Testament, and where they offered sacrifice. In that you say, the table of the Lord is polluted, and the fruit thereof, even this meat, is contemptible. You say also, behold, what a weariness it is. That's what a lot of people say about worship and Bible study. Oh, it's so hard. It's so hard. Everybody that I ever heard of that thought school was a weariness and was hard to do quit school before they ever got through. Now, we don't have much of that anymore because they've got all kind of incentives to try to get you there. And there's more pressure, but still a lot of them quit school, but they keep on attending. And saith the Lord of hosts, ye have brought that which was torn, and the lame you've bought for an offering. Shall I accept this of your hand, saith the Lord? But cursed be the deceiver that hath in his flocks a male and bowed and sacrificed to the Lord a corrupt thing. What's he talking about? I don't know about your worship, but I do know this. If it's not the best you can do, it's not good enough. I don't know how good you can sing. I know that you know how good I can't sing. But I don't know how good you can sing, but I'm going to do the very best I can. It's an amazing thing to me. I see some people sing everywhere but the Lord's church. They have a school program, they're up there singing. They get around the radio somewhere, they're up there singing. But they just don't get out. It's the best. And, of course, that goes all the way through. And then, of course, if you're not a far-off follower, then you're going to be at the supper. My mama, See, we had a big, long table like that and a bench over here, and 12 of us. We actually, there's about 8, 10 most of the time because ones was here or there. We didn't get, and that place would be empty, and Mom would know it. And so she would recognize that they weren't there. When we had supper, especially. Supper was our meal. Mama got up, cooked breakfast, and put it in the warmer, and took off to work. She did. Then she come back. Maybe the girls helped some, but they couldn't cook like Mama. Girls never can cook like Mama. Sorry, ladies. But anyway, she would come back, and then she would cook supper. All right, see, they're done. And then she would go out and do a washing. You know what this means, don't you? You don't know what that means. And then she'd hang it out on the line. And the next morning, before she went to work, you see out there at 4 o'clock in the morning on those mornings, she'd be taking the washing down. I'm just telling you ladies this to recognize that service is like that, can't be bought. We try to buy service in the Lord's church. You can't buy the kind of service the Lord wants. Only love will produce it. Nobody will look after their children like the mother that loves them. And I don't say that against babysitters or against all those things. I'm for that. I hope that goes on because you need some of that too. But I want to tell you right now, you're not going to get anybody to look after their children like the mother that loves them. You can't buy that kind of thing. You can't put a price on it. Father, too, we could say that, but mothers, I think it fits a little bit better, and I hate to admit that, but than that. So here it is, and you need to recognize that they were following. People following afar off when Jesus is in the assembly and they're somewhere else. Now, they may not be able to help you, but tonight the Lord's going to be here, and if I'm alive, I'm going to be here. If I'm not here, I'll be sick or dead. And the Lord's going to be here. I don't know where you're going to be, but I know you're going to be afar off, especially if you couldn't make it. I mean, couldn't make it and didn't make it. And, of course, there are times when you can't make it. And then, of course, if you're here, then, of course, you want to have fellowship, and that is joint participation in all manner. Well, not only the singing and the Lord's Supper and the preaching, but also, of course, in giving. I've noticed about us that we know that if we love somebody, we will give them. And you know, we think of trinkets and things like that. Well, what the Lord really wants is what Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 8:5. He said, now here are the Macedonians, and they know how to give. You know how to solve all your giving problems? You ought to give a tenth if you can at all. I agree that or more. But you know how to solve every one of your problems. Keep before you that I am a follower of Jesus. Jesus gave everything. And if I give Jesus everything, how much has I given him? Nothing. Everything that I have belongs to the Lord anyway. My eyesight, my ability to walk, my ability to talk, every possession I have. And I need to develop a desire to do that. And to give to God what he's given to me. Then again, the Bible says in James 4:28, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. I believe that. If you come tonight to be with Jesus, he's going to be here. He's not going to a ball game or to a picnic or somewhere else and leave you here. He's not going to do it. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. 2 Corinthians 6:17, Paul was having a lot of trouble with the church at Corinth. It was in a worldly city, very worldly city. And so he wrote the church at Corinth, 2 Corinthians 6:17, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Now, he didn't mean to literally leave Corinth. He meant to, what did Jesus name Christians anyway? They're the called out. Most people haven't observed the very first thing about being a member of the church, the called out. They're in the world, you're in the world, they are of the world, you're not of the world. You're called out. And so he said, come about, and I will receive you and be a father unto you, and you shall be my children. So God expects that of us, that we become called out. And then, of course, Christ gave a number of examples. I went down through that. I'll come back to that if I have time. But how do we follow Jesus today? I'm going to give you a Bible example. You can't follow Jesus today like the apostles did. Can't do it. Now don't get excited. Listen a minute before you shut me off. Jesus and the apostles traveled together. They heard him preach. They watched him work miracles of all types. They watched him love all kind of folk. What a great blessing it was. We can't be a follower of Jesus today. Not like that. How in the world do we follow Jesus today? Most people don't realize that. They don't know how you do it. Well, let's read and find out. Matthew 28, 18 through 20. Go ye therefore and make disciples of all nations. Now, disciple is a follower. That's what the word literally means. Make followers of all nations. How you do that? Teaching them. Baptizing them. And then teaching them to observe all things I have taught you. Our following of Jesus comes through us listening to Jesus and watching the examples. And so he gives us this great example. First of all, you got to decide who's got the authority. One thing you won't pick up as you work for anybody, especially you work for a small business. Who's really in charge here? I got good at that when I was working at groups when I was growing up in high school and so forth. I could go and spend one day on the job, just a few minutes. I could tell who was in charge. Every business that's any kind at all has really got one person, spark plug runs it. That's what I saw. You can't share. You can't really share. They work together some, but you can't really share if you're running the floor of this and doing a particular job. Somebody's got to be the one that calls the shots. And so you can't share that. But anyway, I learned to do that. Now, all authority is given to him. That's the reason I have been so clear, I think, in teaching you that everything we do comes right through this word. Now, tonight we're going to talk about let's put away childish things. You can't build the Lord's church with childish things. And so that's what I'm going to talk about tonight. But now we do know how to do it. We do know that you have to go. Jesus had all authority. He said, go teach and baptize and teach. In Mark's account, he again says, they had all power, which is another way of putting it. Go and preach the gospel to every creature. Wonder why he said that. Because the only way you can make followers of Jesus is preach the gospel to them. We'll talk about fun and games tonight. They might have some place here or there, but they don't make disciples of Jesus. Go and preach the gospel. He that believeth, that means keep us on believing. ETH means keep on. In the Greek, it's the present passive continuous. And keep on believing. And so Jesus showed us there that we ought to do that. Well, we turn to Acts, the second chapter, and somebody says, I still don't see. Well, have you ever really looked at Acts 2 like you ought to? Verse 36, Peter said, God hath made this same Jesus both Lord and Christ. Now, if he's Lord, he's got the authority. If he's Christ, he's the Son of God and the judge of all the world. Then he said, "What?" They cried out, what shall we do to be saved? And here's what he did in verse 37. What shall we do? They hollered out. Verse 38, now this is the apostles. Now they did not become followers like this during the personal ministry of Jesus Christ. They too had to learn how to do it going through the book of Acts. They were followers of Christ and they were preachers of Christ's gospel. But the church had not been established and worship was not in the church and so on. So here we got it. Now we got what you and I got to do. We followed the cross. And the New Testament's in effect. And so verse 48, what shall we do? Peter said, here's what you've got to do. Repent and be baptized. Now, that's the system that was in the Old Testament, except for the fact that they were baptizing by the Lord. And so repent and be baptized. And then Acts 2:40. He put this right in there too for some reason. Save yourselves from this wicked and untoward generation. I spent about an hour yesterday reading a book that had tried the premise, you can't do nothing to save yourself. I thought, how could anybody be, I'm not going to say that, how could anybody miss the point that you certainly can do something to save yourself? Who's going to tend for you? Who's going to pray for you? Who's going to give for you? Who's going to sing for you? Who's going to try to look after your family like you ought to be for you? No, you've got a response. Save yourselves, Acts 2. And then the Bible says, Acts 2:41, they that receive the word, gladly receive the word. You know what the next thing says? Were baptized. You know what the next thing says? And there was added unto them, that's the apostles. There, here, what's the group here that obeyed the gospel? They were added to the apostles. They were added unto them that same day about 3,000 souls. Now, there it is. That's the way they were called and the way they followed. But that's not all of it. You've got to get in the rest of it. Acts 2:14, we're looking at a picture of how people followed Jesus in the New Testament. And you can see it clearly. Acts 2:42, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' teaching. Now when we start teaching things that the apostles didn't teach, we're not following Jesus. In the denominational world, teaching everything but the Bible is not following Jesus. And they can't claim to be. And so the Bible says they continued steadfast in the apostles' doctrine. In breaking of bread, they didn't miss the Lord's Supper. They wanted to meet with the Lord around that table. We do too, don't we? That's the reason we're here this morning. One of the reasons. And so they did that. In the apostles' doctrine, break bread, and in prayers. We need prayers mightily in this day and time. Been praying mightily today about a situation. And so the Bible says they did that. They continued steadfast apostolic bringing in prayers. And the Bible says fear came upon all them. Now here is an example of how people followed the Lord in New Testament days. Now why don't people follow the Lord that way today? They don't understand the process. They think that they can do like the Apostle Peter and walk on water. We ain't got nobody today to walk on water. Anybody that wants to try it, we'll go down wherever it is and let you walk as far as you can walk. And if you can walk across 100 feet on top of water, I'll give you $1,000. And you can put it in the bank. I'll let the barge, but I'll give it to you. You can't walk on water. Well, Peter walked on water. The Lord walked on water. People today don't use sound judgment. The days of miracles have ceased. That doesn't mean God doesn't heal, but He heals through natural law. And He can do what He wants to do with that. And so He does heal. The Bible says all healing comes from the Lord. But we do not have that. Now, there is no miraculous way to make you a disciple by some way or another giving you the knowledge without you studying for it. By listening, studying, whatever. That's the only way you can get the knowledge. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we could miraculously give children an education at school? Come in. Okay, Johnny, I want you to know five multiplication facts. He got it. I want you to be able to spell these 100 words. He got it. Now, same principle in spiritual realm. How are you going to learn the book of Matthew? You're either going to read it, or somebody's going to teach it to you. Or you're going to watch somebody as they practice in their life. What kind of follower are you? Got your eyes open? Who are you following? Who are you following? I saw a sign just the other day on the back of a car. Don't follow me, I'm lost. Everybody that's not going to heaven ought to have to wear a sign on the back. Don't follow me, I'm lost. Because they're going to lead you straight to hell. Your best friend who is lost is going to try to get you to be lost. He don't even realize it. He thinks he's doing you a favor. After all, you don't believe in dancing and drinking and going naked, but he would feel better if you did, if you're going to associate with him. Who are you following? Come out from among you, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And so, Are you willing to follow Jesus according to the way he taught people to follow? It all starts with believing that he's the Christ. Acts 8:37. Repenting of your sins. Luke 13:3. Confessing Jesus to be the Son of God. Acts 8:37. And then being baptized by buried in water for the remission of your sins. Acts 2:38. Now, if you've done that, then you're ready to follow Jesus. And if you've done that with a sincere heart, you'll attend every worship service you can. You can't attend them all. When you get your paycheck, what it is, you'll set aside whatever you can, as you've been prospering, to give to the Lord. When the person sings, you'll do your best to sing. When he prays, you'll listen. And if you can't understand what he's saying, you begin to pray your own prayer. That's what you do. And you do the very best you can to worship and save yourselves. You watch yourself and examine yourself to see how your spiritual health is. And that's what a follower is. What kind of follower are you? Are you a follower of Jesus and never has taken a look at yourself? You can't be. No, you're not, except Christ be in you, your reprobates concerning the faith. We sing this song that I really love. Oh, to be like thee, blessed Redeemer. Oh, to be like thee, blessed Redeemer. That is the hope of every Christian, that he's followed Jesus, he'll become more and more like him. After all, he's going to be judged by him and by the words that he's taught us. And he will accept us into our glory forever if we live an obedient and faithful life to the very best of our ability. You'll never be able to live sinless. But you can do the best you can. If you need to obey the Lord and be a disciple of Christ and a follower of Jesus, the privilege is yours. You've got no one to blame but yourself if you don't do it now while together we stand and while we sing.